It's Thursday, July 23rd, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Just finished up with a conference call with the national office in D.C. We're getting all the kinks worked out for the Normal National Conference at the end of September. You'll hear the commercial for that later. And we wanted to announce that Rick Steves has been signed on for the conference. He'll be speaking again. Rick Steves, of course, is a Normal advisory board member and the best known person on the planet when it comes to European travel. His guidebooks are probably 10 of the top 20 books that sell for European travel guidebooks. So he's the man. You've seen him on PBS and he's a great speaker. Well worth coming to the Normal conference to hear. Also, I want to give some attention to the University of Central Florida Normal chapter, which does so much work in their community. They're volunteering today with Habitat for Humanity, helping to build low-cost housing for people. And this is something I want to encourage every Normal chapter to think about, and that's getting involved with things that are a little bit outside of marijuana law reform. Things like Adopt a Highway, where you clean up the side of a road and get your name up on the side of the freeway, or working with volunteer organizations like Habitat for Humanity, or organizing blood drives, or giving to the food bank in your area. There's so many ways that we can integrate ourselves into the mainstream community to show to them that marijuana consumers are responsible adults who care about their community. So think about it, and if you need some ideas, send me an email at stash@normal.org. And of course, it's time for some shout-outs. It's a Normal shout-out. Got an email from a guy in Palm Beach County in Florida looking to form a Normal chapter. He set up an email address, pbcnormal@gmail.com, if you're interested in getting together and forming a chapter there. Also, the state of Wyoming is calling out for some help with some of their Normal activities. We've got a Wyoming Normal out there, but it is a big state. So if there's other people out there in Wyoming who are interested in getting organized, send me an email at stash@normal.org. And a personal shout out to the people of Delaware. I've been in contact with four or five of them who have emailed me, and one of them has complained. What has Normal ever done for us? Normal's not going to do anything for us. We can do it all on our own. Well, that's fine. Yeah, Normal's not for everyone. You can gladly have your own group and do your own work. And in fact, we work in concert with lots of such independent groups all over the country, like Pennsylvanians for Medical Marijuana, People United for Medical Marijuana in Florida, the Granite Staters up in New Hampshire, and so on. But if you think that doing this by yourself is something that's going to get marijuana legalized across this country, think again. Normal's been there since the beginning, and we have the largest archives of research and news material and the strongest brand going in marijuana law reform. There are plenty of benefits, and anyone who wants to know what they are, send me an email at stash@normal.org. But remember, Normal's a grassroots organization. We don't fly in from Washington, D.C., install a bunch of people and rules for you, and then make your activities successful. It's all about you organizing and us helping you along the way. Together we can do it, and you can be part of the largest network of marijuana law reformers in this country. But if you're not interested, don't bother emailing me. I'm busy enough as it is dealing with people who want to be involved. Now, coming up on your daily audio stash today, we've got your hemp headlines, including the news you've all been talking about, the drug czar Kerlikowske out there on one of those marijuana eradication photo ops saying that marijuana is dangerous and has no medicinal value. We also have a story from Fresno, California, where cops stake out a house of suspected marijuana growers but miss the three home invaders who came in to murder them. Then, a first-hand testimony from an emergency room doctor on his opinions on the differences between marijuana and alcohol, and my rebuke of the reefer madness from California Representative Duncan Hunter in response to one of our stashers' letters to him. We're going to skip our Southern California scene today. We had some problems working out the schedule between that normal conference call and myself and Terry. So we're going to go to part two of an interview I did yesterday with Chris Goldstein. He was at the National Conference of State Legislatures, and we get some updates on what's happening in Philadelphia and in New Jersey. Then for our daily Toker Tunes brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we've got our Rockin' Thursday tune. And in Cannabis Conversations, we speak to a regular, average, normal cannabis consumer out there, a gentleman by the name of Jim Klein, who wanted to tell his story about how marijuana helped him medicinally. I sure hope the drug czar is listening. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Drug czar Kerlikowske, quote, marijuana is dangerous and has no medicinal benefit, end quote. Now remember, this man is legally required to say these things. The federal government is not going to pull back on its efforts to curtail marijuana farming operations, Gil Kerlikowske, director of the White House's Office of National Drug Control Policy, said Wednesday in Fresno. The nation's drug czar, who viewed a foothill marijuana farm on U.S. Forest Service land with state and local officials earlier Wednesday, said the federal government will not support legalizing marijuana. Quote, legalization is not in the president's vocabulary, and it's not in mine, end quote, he said. Yes, once again, we need to buy dictionaries for our drug czar. Legalization, it's a noun. It's the act of authorizing something previously illegal. But like I said before, what do you expect from the drug czar? His very job description, written into law, requires him to lie about marijuana. Kerlikowske said he can understand why legislators are talking about taxing marijuana cultivation to help cash-strapped government agencies in California. But the federal government views marijuana as a harmful and addictive drug, he said. Quote, marijuana is dangerous and has no medicinal benefit, end quote, Kerlikowske said in downtown Fresno while discussing Operation SOS, Save Our Sierra, a multi-agency effort to eradicate marijuana in eastern Fresno County. Officials say the marijuana eradication operation will cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, but the exact amount won't be known until agencies can add up staffing, vehicle, and other costs. It is amazing to make the statement that marijuana has no medicinal value in the state that has hundreds of thousands of medical users and thousands of doctors recommending it for medical use for 13 years. Even more amazing when you know the federal government Kerlikowske works for has patents on the medical use of cannabinoids and continues to deliver tins of marijuana joints for medical purposes to four Americans, including George McMahon, who you can see on a picture at stash.normal.org with stasher Reverend Ray Green holding the very tin of federal medical marijuana. Mr. Drug Czar, your pants are on fire. Cops stake out couple for marijuana, miss home invaders that murdered couple. Speaking of the Fresno area, this comes from a nearby town, and it makes you wonder, to protect and serve? Does this seem like proper police priorities to you? KSEE Fresno. Kerman police removed more than 30 marijuana plants from the home of a couple killed in home invasion robbery Wednesday night. It all began that morning at a home at Elmar Lane in Kerman. Ironically, the home was under surveillance by police when three men went inside and allegedly shot and killed a couple in their 60s who lived in the home. Police chased until the suspect's car crashed into another vehicle at Golden State and Jensen. Three people in the car were arrested immediately, but a fourth man ran and was later tracked down and caught. Kerman police say the home where the couple were killed had been under surveillance for weeks, suspected of being a marijuana grow house. Police were planning on raiding the home when the suspects entered the house. Neighbors, who identified the couple as Gary and Sandra DiBartolo, were shocked at the couple's death, noting that Sandra worked at nearby Kerman High School. So the police are watching this home for weeks and watch three guys walk in and murder the occupants. Why do you suppose the guys wanted to invade the home in the first place? Because marijuana is illegal, and they can't buy their own at a store, and they can sell what they steal for tens of thousands of dollars. Emergency room doctor, quote, "Cannabis may be the most benign substance on earth," end quote. I like collecting the clips that Stashers send in to me when they've been reading their newspapers. This is one forwarded to me by a Stasher named Moldy Cutter off of a comment that he found on a post at the New York Times that answers beautifully the prohibitionist claim that emergency room admissions for marijuana are skyrocketing. 15 years of full-time emergency medicine, and I've maybe seen 10 visits to the ER for cannabis. These fall into two categories. One, pot brownies, an unfortunate way to ingest way too much cannabis. Unpleasant, but completely non-life-threatening. And two, the vast majority of those 10 visits are parents who bring in a normal-appearing teen asking for a drug test for pot. Available over-the-counter, by the way, for you parents out there. I see that ER visits going up canard regularly, and the writer might as well say, I'm an idiot. What is a marijuana-related ER visit? Are they counting every positive urine drug screen? Or just people who come in complaining that their pot is too potent? What? Of all the drug or medicine-related misery I've seen, the dearth of ER visits I've seen due to cannabis suggests that when it comes to drugs, cannabis may be the most benign substance on earth, if you want to measure that by ER visits. Clearly, the worst thing about it is that it can get you into serious legal problems, since it's not legal. People have always and will always use plants and synthetic compounds to alter their senses, period. When it comes to the drug war, the diagnosis is clear. The treatment is worse than the disease.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Representative Duncan Hunter, Republican of California, on marijuana law reform.
Thank you for contacting me with your support for H.R. 2835, the Medical Marijuana Patient Protection Act. I appreciate the opportunity to respond to you on this issue. As you may be aware, marijuana is a Schedule I substance under the Controlled Substances Act of 1970. Marijuana was placed in this most restricted category because it was found to have a high potential for abuse, has no currently accepted medical use in the U.S., and lacks accepted safety standards for use.
No, it was placed there because President Richard Nixon was a racist who hated long-haired, dope-smoking young people who were burning draft cards and bras, embracing black culture and civil rights, and protesting his illegal wars. And since he couldn't bust them for free speech, he busted them for their choice of social relaxant. His own scientific commission determined that marijuana should not be criminalized. And, if I may quote the crook from his White House tapes and memoirs of his chief of staff...
I want a goddamn strong statement on marijuana. I mean one that just tears the ass out of them. You know, it's a funny thing. Every one of the bastards that are out there for legalizing marijuana is Jewish. Soft-headed psychiatrists who work in places like the National Institutes for Mental Health favor marijuana because they're probably all on the stuff themselves. You have to face the fact that the whole problem is really the blacks. The key is to devise a system that recognizes this all while not appearing to.
And my apologies to Richard Nixon, Rich Little, and McGruff the Crime Dog for my impersonation skills.
While I have heard the arguments for using marijuana for medicinal reasons, I am also aware of the availability of other legal drugs that can better treat the symptoms allegedly alleviated by marijuana.
Name one. Explain how it better treats symptoms, and then show me its side effects and potential for overdose. I'll give you $1 million if you can find a safer alternative.
As the father of three, I believe allowing the medical use of marijuana sends the wrong message to our children that using this drug poses no risk and is harmless. There is no scientific evidence that marijuana is safe and effective to use.
So, how are you keeping your kids from overdosing on OxyContin, or for that matter, cough syrup? Aren't you tired of those drugs' legality sending the wrong message of risk and harm to your children? By the way, there are 17,000 peer-reviewed studies and 5,000 years of history showing marijuana is safe and effective to use.
In addition, legalizing marijuana would only make it that much more difficult for our law enforcement to distinguish between medical and recreational users. The Medical Marijuana Patient Protection Act would prevent federal authorities from prosecuting pharmacies, growers, and users of medical marijuana in states that have legalized use for medical reasons.
Congressman, if marijuana is legalized, there will be no distinction between medical and recreational users for law enforcement to worry about.
Rest assured that while we may disagree on this issue, I will keep your specific thoughts firmly in mind as Congress continues to discuss this important issue. Again, thank you for contacting me. Should you have any further questions or concerns, please do not hesitate to let me know. Sincerely, Duncan Hunter, Member of Congress.
Yes, indeed, Representative Hunter, definitely a member of Congress.
If you want to win people over, you can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here, watch.
NormalCon 2009, Yes We Cannabis, September 24th through 26th, 2009, in San Francisco, California.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree.
I think it's time for debate, and I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana.
At our 38th annual conference, you'll learn all the facts you need in the debate to legalize marijuana.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy, the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President, or waiting until the last minute to book your trip to NormalCon 2009. Early bird registration rates apply until August. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL. We're happy now to go to a live report in Philadelphia from the National Conference on State Legislatures at ncsl.org. This is kind of a trade show for state politicians. And joining us live, the executive director of Normal New Jersey and the founder of the Daily Audio Stash, our good friend Chris Goldstein. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Russ. Great to speak with you today. It's definitely fun rubbing elbows with all these state elected officials out here in Philadelphia.
Well, yeah, give our listeners a picture of what's going on there. You were telling me this is just huge.
It is massive. The Philadelphia Convention Center is one of the largest convention spaces in the country. There are 5,500 elected officials from all 50 states and territories, along with elected officials from other countries. I've interacted with dozens of state elected officials. I've interacted with folks from the UK, Ghana, Ireland, New South Wales, and I've been here with Jack Cole at the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition booth. And let me tell you that if it were up to the legislators that we ran into today, this would already be a done deal, Russ. This is just an amazing event. Not just the legislators are here, but groups, Center for Competitive Politics, motor companies, the beer industry is here. They were giving free beer out just a minute ago. The tobacco lobbies are here. It is really sort of a political trade show. It's really interesting.
Well, that's really interesting, and I'm glad to hear that the reactions you've been getting have been generally positive. I hope that can translate into the state legislatures in the next sessions. Now, you mentioned you were there with Jack Cole at the LEAP booth.
Hey, and might I add that the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, you get a badge pin, which is probably one of the coolest pins in the reform movement, and it is highly sought after, and it's a free membership there at LEAP.
Add it to the pin collection, definitely. Now, Chris, before I let you go as well from this National Conference of State Legislatures, anything to report as far as the conference or people's reactions or anything else you just want to tell the listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I encountered a legislator from Hawaii, I believe his name was Sadukis, who said that 15 years ago he had optioned to legalize marijuana in the state of Hawaii, and it was shot down. And he was an adamant supporter of medical marijuana access in Hawaii. He mentioned about cutting back on the eradication programs with helicopters. I also encountered some of the South Dakota legislators who were, in fact, the head of the committee who was in charge of the medical marijuana bill in South Dakota, which was unfortunately recently defeated. But let me tell you, having run into three South Dakota legislators, they were very much in support of having it heard again. Even the ones who were a little bit on the fence, the one gentleman who was a little bit on the fence about it said it was an excellent debate. He was looking forward to seeing it again. In general, unfortunately, I was here to talk to some of the folks in Pennsylvania, but Pennsylvania's legislators are held hostage in Harrisburg. I did run into some Pennsylvania's legislative staffers out here, And there was even some talk amongst the Pennsylvania legislative staffers about not just medical marijuana, but talk about marijuana issues in general. I ran into some New Jersey legislators. Let's see. I even ran into some of my old friends from New Mexico who were walking around here. It really is an amazing show, Russ. C-SPAN's bus is here. Again, the lobbying groups are out in force. I've been visiting with all of the medical lobbies, physicians advocating for patients, the cancer care societies, the groups of students, medical students who are here. I don't think I'm trying to correct myself, and I'm looking at Ethel here, but in my visits to booths, where I've walked up to booths, I don't think I've encountered anybody in opposition to marijuana law reform. So I'll tell you, Russ, if it were up to the attendees at the National Conference of State Legislators, our issue would be solved. And I think that we need to spend a little bit more time at conferences like this, interacting with our state legislators out there, and everybody can do that. Just see where these things are happening in your town. Go on over, walk around, pick up some of the free giveaways, but make sure to talk about drug policy reform. Make sure to talk about marijuana law reform as much as you can out there, just like we are today.
Yeah, and I can assure you the next one in Kentucky will get a lot of attention. And you mentioned something about the legislators in Harrisburg being held hostage. Just in case anyone gets the wrong idea, I believe you were speaking metaphorically.
Yes, indeed. I don't know if the legislators might see it as much of a metaphor, because they are stuck in Harrisburg. It is a budget crisis that they're in. They have not passed the Pennsylvania state budget. As such, the legislators are not able to leave Harrisburg and visit this National Conference of State Legislators happening in their own home state.
Huh.
They've sent out some of their staffers about it, but yes, they're not being held physically hostage, and it is a metaphor, but you call up some of those PA state reps, and they may not feel that's so metaphorical.
Well, let's hope we can get the budget passed and take care of the people of the Keystone State. They definitely need a good budget. And any news on the progress regarding medical marijuana in New Jersey or Pennsylvania to report?
Well, because of the budget problems in Pennsylvania, the first time we're going to have hearings on the medical marijuana bill has been pushed off to September. But we're looking forward to having the first hearings in September. Believe me, folks want to have these public hearings, and there is a lot of interest in it. We just had our medical marijuana vigil in Philadelphia last week, where State Rep Cohen, the sponsor of the bill, joined us at Philly Normal and Pennsylvanians for Medical Marijuana, right in front of Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell. And he spoke before us. I have to say that in Pennsylvania, Mark Cohen has been not only a sponsor of the bill, but he's been a champion of it. And I got to say, he's a very progressive politician, but he's also a very, very pragmatic one as well. He's included taxation on the front end of the bill. When I go out to Harrisburg and talk to folks, they may be philosophically opposed to marijuana in general, but when you start talking about how much money they can make in taxes, their tune changes pretty quick. I found that interesting. New Jersey is, of course, in a very critical phase, and any New Jersey residents who are listening to the Stash today, please contact your legislators. And you can go on up to cmmnj.org, the Coalition for Medical Marijuana. But we need as much contact as possible. It goes to the full assembly. This is the last vote. John Corzine said he would sign it. He picked up my daughter and took a picture with her on the 4th of July. I watched Governor Corzine read the Declaration of Independence. After he put my daughter down, I shook his hand and said, "You're going to sign the medical marijuana bill, right, Governor?" And he said, "Yes, I will." So we need to get it passed and to the governor's desk so we can get his signature on it.
All right. Check out that. New Jersey residents, you can probably get the alert at our CapWiz alert system through the Take Action Center at normal.org. Just look for Take Action and click it. It'll lead you to your state. So no matter where you are, if there's someone to contact or some issue you need to know about, you can find out about it. We've also got a link to it at the Stash blog at stash.normal.org. Look for the big United States graphic that says Activists Alerts, and that'll take you to the same place as well. Chris Goldstein's the executive director of Normal New Jersey, the founder of the Daily Audio Stash, the host of Active Voice Radio, and the hardest working man on the East Coast in marijuana law reform. Thanks for joining us again, man.
Hey, Russ, thank you so much. From the hardest working in the East to the hardest working in the West, many thanks.
Many thanks to you.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We're old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. For Rockin' Thursday, we hear Australian artist Herb Superb and his 2006 Global MMA Best Comedy-winning song, 100 Cone Billy. Herb was Song of the Year winner in the inaugural 2004 Marijuana Music Awards. Herb's been around for a long time, a singer-songwriter, world traveler, Vietnam entertainer, environmentalist, and all-around good bloke. Today's song is from the CD Pot Songs, written and performed by Herb Superb and the Sydney Heads Band. Two of the CD's songs feature in High Times movie Potluck. Herb believes in the medicinal use of marijuana and laughter as a means of reducing pain in the world today. However, Herb accepts no responsibility for pain caused by falling off chairs or uncontrollable crying or laughing caused by listening to songs from the Pot Song CD. To find out more about Herb Superb, check out potsongs.com.au. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's Herb Superb with 100 Cone Billy.
Well, Billy, he thought work just sucked. He coughed a lot and his mind was fucked. He just sat around and packed the bong all day.
Bong.
Well, he'd get one ready the night before, so in the morning when his feet hit the floor, he could have a cone before he had a piss. He thought everyone else were fools. His friends had jobs or were still at school, but he was on the rock and roll and still at home. Well, he dealt a bit to keep the stash in shape, and he slept till 12 and stayed up late. He had a full-time occupation, getting stoned. 100 Cone Billy, what a fucking whacker. Needs a bunger up his clacker. He needs to get a life. And that's pass away from snapping. An accident waiting to happen. He's bound to take a dive. 100 Cone Billy. Well, the night young Billy hit the wall, he left the local bar with a belly full. He could hardly walk. He'd had a few drinks with his mates. Against all odds, he made it home and went straight to his room and packed a cone. Took a big long hit, pulled it through. When smoke hit his lungs, the left one collapsed. His face went purple and his eyes rolled back. He threw a technicolor yawn across the room. Then he let out one ginormous cough. Then he shit himself. It was wet and soft and green, with brown bits in between. 100 Cone Billy, What a fucking whacker needs a bunger up his clacker. He needs to get a life. And that's us away from snapping. An accident waiting to happen. He's bound to take a dive. 100 Cone Billy. That fateful night as he lay in his shed, said he saw the light. He swore he'd never drink or smoke again. Within a week he was packing 50 a day, said he had to drink to take the shakes away. In a few more days he was back up to the ton. 100 Cone Billy, what a fucking whacker, needs a bunger up his clacker. He needs to get a life. And that's us away from snapping. An accident waiting to happen, he's bound to take a dive. 100 Cone Billy, 100 Cone Billy, what a fucking whacker, needs a bunger up his clacker, he needs to get a life. And that's us away from snapping, an accident waiting to happen, he's bound to take a dive. 100 Cone Billy, Bob. 100 Cone Billy Bob,
fucking dickhead.
100 Cone Billy Bob,
wouldn't know if his ass was on fire.
100 Cone Billy Bob,
as a matter of fact, he wouldn't know his ass from his elbow.
100 Cone Billy Bob,
if you use it, don't abuse it.
100 Cone Billy Bob.
If I were to tell you that in America, right now, over 1 million children sell marijuana, what would you think? Would you think that any public policy that creates over 1 million teenage marijuana dealers needs to be re-examined and possibly amended? You would not be alone. The members of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, aka NORML, have been working since 1970 to reform marijuana laws such that responsible adults, not children, sell and use marijuana. Isn't it high time to reform America's misguided marijuana laws? This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML in Washington, D.C. Only concerned citizens can effectively end the federal government's nearly 70-year-old prohibition on responsible adult marijuana sales and use. Want to know more about how you can help? Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's popular and informative webpage at NORML, NORML.org.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our NORML Daily Audio Stash, Cannabis Conversations.
I talk to a lot of people here at the NORML Daily Audio Stash, politicians, activists, actors, musicians, authors, and so forth. But one of the times that I most enjoy here on the Stash is when I get to speak to just average, normal, everyday people who've had their lives changed through the use of medical cannabis. And joining me now is one such person named Jim. And Jim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Russ.
I received an email from you, and you're a filmmaker, and you've been putting together some videos on YouTube, and we're going to show those up at the Stash blog at stash.normal.org. But I found your story very compelling. It's not a unique story. I hear it a lot from people about their how medical marijuana helps them out, but every story is unique in the sense that it's different for each person. So could you tell our listeners a little bit about your activities and how you came involved with medical marijuana?
Sure. Well, I was living in Venice Beach, California, and I was body surfing, and I broke my back. And what actually technically happened was a bone shard, a massive bone shard, broke off, stuck me in the nerve base, and nearly severed all the nerves in my left leg. Now, for 2 weeks prior to my operation, I really decided I wanted to go natural, the natural way. Well, I've been eating marijuana cookies as a general rule, which were assistive to my physical, mental well-being, etc. And during that period, I was in a lot of pain, and the cookies were of a great assistance. I had acupuncture, I had everything you could possibly imagine, and I also was given by a number of doctors and people pharmaceutical, painkillers, and nothing had any effect on me. The marijuana cookies were the only thing that had any kind of, you know, effect on me whatsoever. So when I went in for my operation, the anesthesiologist and the surgeon said, "Well, Jim, what do you want? What kind of painkillers do you want when you come out? This is pretty serious. Obviously, my nerves were nearly severed, and my leg, the pain was pretty intense." And so I asked them, I said, "Well, is the pain going to be any worse?" And they laughed. They said, "That's not possible." I said, "Well, then I'll just continue with the marijuana cookies." And they were, this was Cedars-Sinai, and they were all for it. They said, "Listen, if you are able to withstand the amount of pain that you must be in, under these circumstances, and you're only taking marijuana cookies, who are we to argue?" Hmm. And, literally, I left the hospital 2 days later, barely able to walk. I couldn't, bend, I couldn't twist, and I couldn't lift more than 5 pounds for 3 months. And I could hardly find my legs. So only having marijuana cookies, that's all I had. I had no painkillers whatsoever. It was a remarkable experience because it not only, you know, I was able to find the nerves, and kind of make the reconnection. It disassociated the pain, so I was able to function. And, it was a remarkable experience. I mean, I do yoga and Qigong, so I'm naturally in top form. So it was an unusual experience for me to be in that kind of condition. And truly, it's the marijuana that brought me back to, you know, supreme health again. And it allowed me to deal with the pain, allowed me to function, and allowed me to really feel what was going on in my body so that I could, accelerate and be the most assistive to my body, in the healing process. So it's, I would recommend it, you know, and I mean, to me, if there's a choice between painkillers that block the nerves and actually block your ability to sensate and feel what's going on so that you can heal your form, the choice is between that and marijuana, which simply awakens your consciousness and to really feeling what's going on in your system. You know, it's the only way to heal, in a sense.
Yeah, I've heard that from other patients too, who've told me that when it comes to the severe pain, it's the difference between blocking it out and feeling it, but not being overwhelmed by it. Is that similar for you?
Right. Well, you know, it exaggerates. You know, marijuana hyperbolizes everything, which is great because you really have to deal with your issues, you know. And it gives you a path. I mean, like anything else, you have to be conscious and you have to use it in a way that you have to, like anything else, ask it and ask yourself and your higher power, okay, you know, assist me in this. So it's not about zoning out. It's about being awake. And so used in that way, as it's been used, you know, by Buddha and Jesus and Gandhi and everybody else, you know, who's kind of transformed in the world, then gives you a lot of light and a lot of insight. It did exaggerate the pain, to the point of, it was a phenomenal experience. I was actually able to hear telephone wire lines and electrical current lines. The pain was so extreme, and also because it was in my nerves and the severity of it, it made me hypersensitive to sound and vibration. Hmm. And the marijuana was able to kind of categorize everything, so I could say, okay, that's the telephone line, that's this line. And really, it was a remarkable experience to be able to experience the pain on such a profound level and yet being able to function extremely well, so that I was able to heal myself. I was able to feel what I could do, what I couldn't do. You know, it really illuminated the parameters of my physical form and just expanded and expanded and expanded them.
That's remarkable. Now, how are you now? I mean, are you fully moving around, walking, body surfing?
Well, I'm not body surfing because I'm in New York City. Well, I'm in Pennsylvania right now and I'm landlocked. But, you know, I will be body surfing when I go back to Venice Beach. I am, you know, in great physical shape. I have, there's definitely nerve, you know, funky nerves in my leg, and I've got to be conscious, you know, all the time, of it, you know, and with this kind of, with the severity of it, you know, it's a long healing process. However, you wouldn't have any idea by seeing me or seeing how I walk or move. There's no indication of it. You know, I'm able to function and move and run and do yoga and qigong and, you know, and function as if, you know, there was nothing going on internally. So, you know, it's an ongoing process. And, you know, my process is I eat the cookies for a period of time, and I find that eating the cookies as opposed to smoking, because the smoke, you know, puts a lot of carbon in the system. And for me, in the healing process, I find that it's more assistive to have my bloodstream, you know, free of carbon and simply to, you know, to affect my emotional center. So the eating works better for me. Mm-hmm. And in that, you know, it just accelerates everything. So I do periods of time where I eat the cookies, and then I, you know, I take a break from the cookies so that, in a way, my actual life, you know, can catch up to the accelerated consciousness that the marijuana provides. And it's nice. It's a good mix, and it's a great way to heal. That's for sure.
Now, had you had any experiences prior to the body surfing accident where you required some sort of, you know, pain relief and you had taken pharmaceutical painkillers?
You know, I'm not a big pharmaceutical painkiller, a pharmaceutical anything. You know, what they do to the body is, you know, tremendously damaging. And, although they provide, temporary relief, you know, the tributary of disease that, you know, follows is, you know, it's pretty serious, and oftentimes it's not felt for many years, whether it's liver problems or, you know, pancreas, or, you know, it affects the organs in many ways.
Sure.
You know, I've always kind of steered clear of them. There have been times in my life that I have had pharmaceutical painkillers for maybe when I had my tonsils out as an adult, too, and certain things. And, you know, I just found them just numbing, I mean, completely numbing. Mm-hmm. And the challenge was really more getting over the painkillers than it was actually the pain.
Yeah, I've heard that before too. So, tell folks what you're up to now with your video work and how you're trying to spread the message.
Yeah, well, I'm doing a world music peace project, and I'm shooting videos as well. And it's called Sign My Name to Love. And, you know, in the midst of this, I thought, boy, you know, this is a great opportunity for me to share my experience of healing, and also being back east where, you know, I was living in Venice where Venice Beach, California, where you go down to the supermarket, you know, the marijuana supermarket and buy your product. So it wasn't an issue. And being in New York where, you know, people look at you like you're from another planet when you ask where you can buy pot, you know, I mean, and I thought, wow, you know, and that, well, it's illegal, you know, and I think, oh, okay. And then I see all these people walking around, old people walking around and, you know, crippled and you know, I mean, just, all closed up. I'm thinking, wow, there needs to be a huge shift here. And I'm in Pennsylvania. Actually, I just shot a documentary on animal abuse of all things in, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania on a goat farm. And while I was doing this, I was thinking, wow, you know, I'm going to put the animals and the music and do some spots, you know, for marijuana. So just to, you know, some humorous spots, some informative spots, you know, there's got to be entertaining as well because, you know, the thing is about marijuana is that it's about peace and love and music and, you know, I mean, it's about transformation and it's not a serious issue. It's an issue. It's a joyous issue, you know. And yes, it is serious as great comedy is serious. You know, healing is serious. And, you know, for me, the humorous element, the entertainment element is, you know, is key to our transformation as well. I mean, it's actually just plain silly that we take pharmaceutical, you know, painkillers knowing what it does to our body and we have a war on marijuana. I mean, it's just silly. You can't even, I mean, how you can take it seriously is just ridiculous. And I mean, so for me, that's my angle. I mean, you can't, it's not even plausible, you know, there's not even, you know, arguments for it. So, in a way, you know, to just to nudge everybody, you know, and it feels like this country is just about on the edge of going, okay, we've had enough now. I mean, listen, we're in a disease-riddled, you know, TV-addled country that, you know, most of us, you know, are in this country if some kind of, you know, illness or know somebody with cancer and, you know, the whole deal. And, you know, people are tired of it, really. And they're just tired of this experience of pharmaceutical psychology. And they're seeing other people who are, they're seeing, first of all, they're seeing the musicians and all the, you know, the people they love, you know, smoking pot and having a good time and being healthy. And, you know, one of the things that, that precipitated me, eating the cookies is a 77-year-old woman in Las Vegas that someone introduced me to. She was apparently in a wheelchair and was about to commit suicide after years of serious illness. And, someone turned her on to the cookies. And within a year and a half, she was out of her wheelchair. She's got her life back. She's 77 and she's a brilliant woman. She owned her own aeronautics company and she's quite something. So, you know, she is, you know, she did the research on it and she realized, what am I holding on to here? You know, the medical doctors and the pharmaceuticals are killing me. I'm in a wheelchair. I want to commit suicide. So she eats the cookies and she's back in the world again at 78 now or 79. And, you know, so she called me up and said, Jim, eat the cookies. And I thought, sure, why not? I mean, if that's the, you know, if that's what's going to assist me, then that's what you do. It's not even a close call here. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And the doctors were amenable. That's the beautiful thing is because of the pain I was in and because I was so, functioning, you know, I mean, they were shocked to see me, functioning and clear and coherent and, you know, making my own choices with nearly having my leg cut off. And, so as far as they were concerned, if the cookies were enabling me to do that under these circumstances, then who were they to argue, with my choice of, you know, of healing? And they were 100% behind me.
That's a fantastic story. And I love hearing it, every time I hear it. Jim, I want to thank you for bringing your story to the Stash. We're going to show your videos up at our blog at stash.normal.org. Just click the link for videos and you'll find them all. And, do you have any websites that people can catch your work at?
Well, there's a website. Well, there's a website for the artwork that I do and we do, my wife and I, and that's called www.thekleinsart.com. And that's one. And anybody who wants to contact me on Facebook, I just became a member of the Facebook community and it's Jim Klein and I'm born July 18th. So if you want to hit me up and just say 420, you can be my friend. And as I post more videos, I'll post them as I'm posting them on Facebook as well for the marijuana videos. And so we can spread the word and bring some peace to this world.
Excellent. Thank you, Jim Klein, so much for your story and joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
You're welcome, Russ. Nice talking with you.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with the reminder that you got just a few hours left to send in your questions for our Cultivator's Corner segment with High Time Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko. We've got a couple questions on deck, but we can always use more. Also, we're still looking for advertisers and supporters for Normal Show Live, our historic CBS radio-carried live talk radio show that debuts
this Labor Day weekend. We can get your business advertised on this radio program and bring a very focused audience of cannabis consumers to your door. They'll be happy to support you when they know that your ad revenue helps to support legalization for them. It's a win-win scenario. Send me an email at stash@normal.org if you're interested. We've got an ad rate for every conceivable budget. So please help us help you and get Marijuana Talk Radio into the mainstream. Thanks for downloading the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.